Welcome to The Dyad Presents, a video game music podcast. I'm The Dyad, and this is part two of the story of Gunpei Yokoi. This week we continue with our two-part series on Gunpei Yokoi. And really, part two in the series could maybe be rightfully called part three. As I mentioned last week, the Virtual Boy episode covers a lot of the ground of Gunpei Yokoi's career between these two episodes. In any event, same as last week, I'll be giving only the bare minimum information of the tracks I'll be playing. And this week all the tracks will come from the Wonder Swan. But we'll get more into exactly what the Wonder Swan is soon enough. One other note about these games, the system wasn't exactly popular, and it never came to America, or really left Japan at all for that matter. For those reasons, I suspect composer information is pretty hard to come by. I've done my best, but there are going to be a number of unknowns on the show today. And somewhat similarly, many of the tracks don't have titles listed. Even if I found gameplay footage, I can't read kanji well enough to glean any sort of track title. So we'll pretty much just be going off the track number. Case in point, the song bringing us in this week is from the game Rakujong. It's track number 15, and the composer is unknown. If you took a detour and revisited the Virtual Boy episode, you'll recall that the console was a massive flop. And with Yokoi at the helm, he was essentially the face of Nintendo's greatest mistake. And here's where some of the internet rumors come in. Shortly after the system was canceled, Yokoi retired from his longtime home at Nintendo, the place where he had worked for 30 years. I mean, it's not unreasonable to think that he was pushed out the door. Nintendo president Yamauchi famously expected people to take responsibility for their mistakes. And, if nothing else, the Virtual Boy was full of mistakes. Plus, every Japanophile and weeaboo can envision the image of the noble samurai falling on their sword for dishonoring their master. And really, I think that concept is pretty widely held by your typical American, regardless of their affinity for all things Japan. But, reportedly, Yokoi wasn't quote-unquote asked to leave. According to a number of sources, including Nintendo's own press release on the matter, Yokoi had been planning his retirement from the company for many years. According to the co-author of Yokoi's biography, Yamauchi didn't lash out at him or try to pin the blame on Yokoi for the Virtual Boy's failure. Instead, he just quickly shut the whole operation down. But Yokoi himself felt responsible, and he did his best to make up for it. The second track today comes from a game called Engacho! With an exclamation point. It's composed by Suguru Yamaguchi, and this is the ending theme. Thank you. Yokoi's final contribution to Nintendo was to redesign his most successful product, the Game Boy. Released to much acclaim, 1996 saw the debut of the Game Boy Pocket. The Pocket models were slimmer, had longer gameplay on fewer batteries, and an easier-to-see true black-and-white display. The response times were faster, which meant less screen blur with the sprite motion, and there was even a later upgraded version with a backlight. The Japan-exclusive Game Boy Light was released in 1998. At peace with his attempts to right the wrongs of the Virtual Boy, Yokoi resigned from Nintendo in August 1996. As I mentioned before, the retirement was reportedly a long time coming and took place 4 years after he had intended. And I'm going to reference the Benj Edwards Virtual Boy article again here for a bit. He makes an excellent point about Yokoi's departure. It came at a time in Japan when employees typically remained loyal to a company for their entire working career. Yokoi's departure from Nintendo shocked the industry. And it wasn't just the American press that assumed his exit was related to the Virtual Boy. Even Japan linked the two events. Apparently, Yokoi was disturbed by these reports, and whenever he was asked, he denied the claims. But he didn't do many interviews, because he was working on his first big post-Nintendo project. The next track comes from a game called Geikito Crash Gear Turbo Gear Champion League. By unknown composer, this is BGM 2. After leaving Nintendo, Yokoi founded a company called Koto Laboratory. In doing so, he partnered with another Nintendo R&D alum, Yoshihiro Taki. They began with a series of LCD keychain games, but eventually came up with a new handheld console. Another monochrome unit, this new machine ran off of a single AA battery. It was sold to Bandai and released as the Wonder Swan. Jeremy Parrish, games journalist and podcast host extraordinaire, host of the excellent Retronauts podcast, called the Wonder Swan one of the most tragic near misses of our age. He goes on to state that it's the only console ever designed specifically for the purpose of taking on Nintendo directly. A link to his article in the blog post of this show, it was a great resource for this episode. But Wonder Swan didn't simply compete with Nintendo, it incorporated Nintendo's own design philosophies. And those same Nintendo philosophies are part and parcel with Gunpei Yokoi himself. Next is my favorite Wonder Swan soundtrack, at least so far. I listened to probably 30 or so to prepare for the episode, and despite a generally small library of games, I definitely haven't fully explored all that the system has to offer. What is unsurprising to me is that this comes from a Rockman game, or Mega Man. The two tracks are from the game Rockman XE, or EXE, N1 Battle. First, the track is Pet Configuration. Second, Navi Clash, Regular Battle, and they're composed by Yusuke Beppu. Because the Wonder Swan is a new system for the show, let's get into a little bit of the technical specs. At least a little bit more. I don't want to turn this into a full system focus, but we'll see how it goes. The unit had a 16-bit NEC V30 chip, more powerful than the guts of the Game Boy. And while it also used a black and white display, it wasn't limited to the four shades of gray. It could display twice as many tones at once. Possibly the most impressive aspect of the system was its battery efficiency. The Game Boy Pocket, by contrast, could run for 20 hours on a pair of AAA batteries, but the Wonder Swan could function for as long as 40 hours from a single AA battery. And on top of that, the Wonder Swan was priced at approximately $40. Going back to Yokoi's design ideology again, the Wonder Swan checks all of his boxes. It makes use of existing tech, and it does so cheaply and effectively. Next, I'll be playing another double feature, this time from one of the system's most popular games, Pocket Fighter. It's composed by Satoshi Ise and Norihiko Togashi. First, I'll be playing BGM 5, followed by BGM 11. Thank you. simply a better, more effective Game Boy, the Wonder Swan featured other innovations. The system had a pair of D-pads, with the second situated in the upper left corner of the unit. This allowed the player to physically rotate the Wonder Swan 90 degrees to play certain games in portrait and some in landscape. This featured prominently in the system's shoot-'em-up games. The Wonder Swan also had an internal memory reserved for saving games. No password needed, and cartridge prices were kept lower because they didn't need to include an extra piece. This wasn't Yokoi's first time at the rodeo. Despite the list of apparent advantages, though, the Wonder Swan ultimately sold only about 4 million units, roughly on par with the fellow Game Boy competitors, the Atari Lynx and the Sega Game Gear. Returning to Jeremy Parrish's article, he points out that some of the blame for the sales falls on Bandai. While development of the Wonder Swan began in 1997, it wasn't finally released until 1999. But in the interim, Nintendo changed the game. The Game Boy Color was released in 1998. Color handhelds had been around for several years, but this was the first time it was as a result of Nintendo's efforts. And as history shows, Nintendo wasn't done with the handheld market. The Game Boy Advance was released in 2001. With a modest 8% market share for the Wonder Swan, it couldn't claw back gamers from the GBA. Despite the Wonder Swan seeing two eventual upgrades, including its own colored variant, it was discontinued in 2003. Next, from the game Star Hearts, Hoshi to Daichi no Shisha, composed by Yusuke Beppu and Shigenori Masuko, this is BGM 16. The conclusion of the Gunpei Yokoi story is a tremendously sad one. He wasn't even able to see the launch of his own Wonder Swan. On October 4th, 1997, Yokoi and a fellow employee, Etsuo Kiso, were traveling on a highway about 200 miles north of Tokyo. They were involved in a minor fender bender and they pulled over to assess the damage. But tragically, as they exited the vehicle, another driver sped by, striking them both. Kiso sustained broken bones but survived. Gunpei Yokoi died in a nearby hospital hours later. He was 56 years old. Less than 2 years after his departure from Nintendo, it was only natural for people to link everything together in their minds. This extended as far as some blaming the failure of the Virtual Boy for Yokoi's death. If you aren't one to throw around the word genius, then at the very least, Yokoi is a tremendous innovator, a wizard and influencer who had an incomprehensible impact on this industry that we love. and I didn't cover nearly all his contributions to the industry. He was a producer on games like Kid Icarus and Metroid, and he came up with Rob the Robot. Some credit that toy with getting the NES into American stores in the first place. I hope you all enjoyed these last two episodes, and I hope you learned something new. And I hope you heard some great music you hadn't listened to before. These two shows took a lot more work than is typical, but I'm pretty okay with the end result, and I hope that you enjoyed it as well. Before I go, as always, special thanks to Alan Euler, aka Periodical, for mixing and editing this show. You can follow me at thediadpresents.blogspot.com, where I post the track list for the show, and you can subscribe via your favorite podcatcher. Please rate the show on iTunes if you're so inclined. Everyone is appreciated. You can follow me on Twitter at thediad, and you can email me at thediadpresents@gmail.com. There's also a Facebook page and group you can find by searching for the name of the podcast or by just The Dyad. Closing this show out is a relatively melancholy song because, I don't know, it just seems like the right way to go out. From the game Metarot, Perfect Edition, Kabuto Version, an unknown composer, this is BGM 02.